Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet. It is Monday, and it is time for you to grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax while we chat about what is happening up in the stars above us for the week ahead. And this is a big week, astrologically speaking, as we have the first full moon lunar eclipse across the Pisces Virgo axis. And that is signaling a change in how it is that we are interacting with the moon and the sun, and what the major transformations in our lives will be over the course of time. So it is a time for us to really, you know, take a look backwards at the things that have occurred in our lives since the previous eclipse pattern, which was in April. And then as well to take a look forward at what might be up for transformation as we go on into the future. So welcome, everybody. And let's dig in. I actually have quite a bit to share with you because, you know, while this is a partial lunar eclipse in Pisces coming up, it is very highly activated, number one, because it's the first of its kind in several years, and two, because it happens at a supermoon full moon, right? A supermoon meaning one of the times that the moon is at its closest approach to Earth, and the fact that it is kind of power-packed with the connections it's making. So today's show, we're going to really just dig into this full moon lunar eclipse and talk about it in as many different ways as we can, so that everybody has an understanding of what how this is important and impactful. Now, the first thing to know, of course, is that it is a partial lunar eclipse. And that means that we'll only see what kind, it's where the Earth is between the sun and the moon, and the shadow of the Earth will appear to take a bite out of the moon, not a complete darkening of the moon or the penumbral eclipses, which kind of you can see through to the moon through kind of a reddish brown haze. So a bite out of the moon disappearing as part of the Earth's shadow is impacting that. And the astrology of this partial lunar eclipse is about emotional changes. It's in the sign of Pisces. So this is water. This is water energy that is related to the emotions and how our emotions change and morph through time, how we are being tasked to grow through and grow up into emotional awareness. And it is also about relationship changes, right? How our emotions impact our relationships. Now, this is also a time, and this is kind of in the general, where we may be experiencing some increased sensitivity, emotional especially, and moodiness that might be associated with that, and especially in how we communicate with one another, in our relationships with one another, and how we trust either ourselves or others in relationship with us, right? So it kind of feels very personal, even though, you know, it is about how personally we are going to interact with those people in our lives. Now, of course, anytime there's an eclipse, it signals a change in the seasons, right? So we're signaling a change from summer to fall in the Northern Hemisphere. And when we have the eclipses in the springtime, of course, we're signaling coming out of winter and into spring, again, in the Northern Hemisphere. So a change in the season also signifies a change in the seasons of our personal lives, right? So wherever it is that the eclipse is falling in your own chart is where there is a change of season, a change of energy going on in your lives. So they're turning points. Right? Eclipses are turning points. And whatever it is that has been going on is reaching almost a climax, if you will, and a turning point becomes available. So Greg Braden, in his books, he might call these choice points, where we can choose a different path, a different direction. We can choose to let go. We can choose to keep moving forward. It's up to us, right? It's in our individual choices. And this is the first eclipse across Pisces and Virgo in what will be about a 1.5 year cycle of eclipses across that axis. And remember, in astrology, we look at axes because the signs are pairs, right? There's a pair of signs across Pisces here and Virgo, and they're related to one another. They can also be opposites of one another. But when we're dealing with Pisces energy, we can't not talk about Virgo and energy that's being pulled into that Pisces placement of the moon in this case. And as well, the sun, it's a full moon. The sun is in Virgo. So we can't have the Virgo conversation without looking at what the Pisces contribution is going to be across that axis. Now, of course, some of the things that that axis represents to us, first of all, health and well-being, right? Pisces taking us through the more lymphatic system, right? As far as health is concerned, and how our body is able to fight off germs or bacteria and viruses, and how having a healthy body from the Virgoan side, right, having healthy habits, taking care of the actual physical, you know, bones and teeth and structure of you, also helps make it easier for us to fight off the germs, the bugs, the viruses, etc. So this axis works in tandem to keep us healthy. And there's also the psychological health that gets involved here. Pisces, as a sign, rules the 12th house of the zodiac, so of your chart, right? The 12th house is the place of spirit. It's the house of prisons and how we imprison ourselves with beliefs and philosophies and fears and limitations, etc. And that can all be kind of relabeled as victim energy, right, where we are victimized. And on the other side, Virgo has the savior, martyr savior energy. So this axis can also be bringing up for us with an eclipse, especially where it is in our lives, we're still holding on to this victim energy. And over the course of time, now over the next year and a half or so, as we're dealing more and more with this energy, we'll see the price that we're paying for being in fear. Right, or the price that we're paying for being victims, or even seeing ourselves as victims, or even thinking of it as being possible that we could possibly be victims, rather than us being the one making the decisions in our lives, becoming responsible for our own conditions. And a Virgo on the other side of this, because these eclipses will, you know, waffle between the two signs, albeit we're not done quite yet with the Aries Libra ones. So don't give that up yet. We're still dealing with the Aries Libra for another couple of eclipses. But we're going to be more and more into this Virgo Pisces axis. Now, this particular eclipse kind of highlights the healing and well-being part of our Virgo Pisces experience. It might even highlight our charitable service energies, right? Our humanitarianism, our compassion for one another, and also bring up for us across this axis a need to balance between dreams, the Piscean dreams, the Piscean illusions, and Virgo's reality, right? So balancing the dream against the realities. So it's a tall order, especially when, you know, we're coming from a completely different energy that's been dominant for the last year and a half, and we're in this transition state, right? We're transitioning. And as we begin to look at this, we might find ourselves more introspective, right? This is reflecting on how we can align perhaps with our higher selves, how we can realign our daily habits, and how we can restore well-being. And we may have a greater sense of purpose in living with the divine. And to that end, I always come across books, and this happens to have been a book, a friend of mine who I had just done a solar return reading for, and she ended up getting sick and having to not be where she was where she told me she would be for her solar return. Thus, I had to quickly rearrange her solar return. And she said, and while I've been sick, I've been reading this book. And so I thought it was an interesting book, Outrageous Openness, Letting the Divine Take the Lead by a woman named Tasha Silver. So I bought this book for me and my two daughters, and I started reading it this weekend. I didn't get very far for a weekend, but you know, it was a busy weekend. And this might be a perfect book for our beginning of this connection that we have to the Pisces Virgo aspect of ourselves, because that is the very spiritual part of ourselves. We could call it the divine aspect, the divine human. And so far, I'm finding this book quite interesting. And this eclipse then is an open invitation for all of us to release patterns of self-sacrifice, right? Or hyper-perfectionism, or anything that is preventing emotional wholeness or wellness, right? So the Piscean energies of the divine, of the disillusion into the divine, and the Virgo energies, the coming into the physical body. So we have both energies. So release those patterns. Take a look at what role victimization is playing in your life. How has it held you back? How does it keep you from healthy relationships? How does it keep you from healthy boundaries, right? There's boundaries are Virgoan, and Pisces is boundarylessness. So how does that serve you or not serve you, right? Taking a look at all of that. And the eclipse could trigger these shifts then, both in our personal and also in the collective way that we find harmony between that practical earthly human and the more divine spiritual human. So I think it's filled with a lot of potential, and maybe finding deeper, more emotional and spiritual connections with one another, but also with yourself. So I'm looking forward kind of to this. But because this is the first in the series, remember, this is, and it's a partial, so it's not a full-on lunar eclipse, it's partial. So we're getting a taste of what this might bring us as we move forward down this path to more Piscean and Virgoan eclipses. All right. So let me just stop and say good morning to everybody who's popping in here. Happy Moon Day to you, J-Lo. I saw you in here this morning saying that. Diana S., good morning. I hope you were able to get through. I think it was Hurricane Francine that you might have been talking about last week. Then let's see, Christine, good morning to you. Asa, nice to see you with us this morning. And Narges, good morning. Teddy Hickox, good morning. And Patty, hello. Augustina, good morning. Corey, hello. Catherine Worcester, good to have you here. Tina, I don't know that we've seen you for a bit, so it's great to have you here. Marin Metcalf. I somehow I recognize the name, but I don't know why. So tell me about that. Soul Strategy Therapy, Narges, please remember to hit the like button, the subscribe button, the thumbs up button, and share the video with your friends. Good morning, Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel. I totally, her favorite team, football team, is the Patriots. My favorite football team are the Seahawks, and they played each other yesterday, and I had no clue that Debbie hadn't watched the game, and when she brought it up, I said, yay for the win for the Seahawks. Oops. So I'm so sorry, Debbie. I had no clue, but it was a good game. They were both well matched, and it was interesting to watch the back and forth going on with these teams early in the season. It's kind of fun to do that. And good morning, Amanda J. I believe she's joining us from England. It's great to have you with us. All right. So now let's take a closer look at this full moon, shall we? We're going to break it down in a couple of different ways today. First, we're going to look at its conjunction to Neptune. The moon is conjunct Neptune. And it is also in a little bit wider conjunction to Saturn. So we're going to deal with that, but it's wide. So it's kind of like iffy as to how much impact it will have. It, the moon and the sun are at 25 degrees, 41 minutes. the sun in Virgo, the moon in Pisces. The full moon occurs in the East Coast time zone at 10:35 p.m. on Tuesday, tomorrow, the 17th, and at 7:35 then p.m. in the West Coast of the U.S. And if you are in Europe, right across the Atlantic, the eclipse occurs at 2:35 a.m. on the 18th over there in UTC time. So we have the crossing over of the eclipse between two different time zones, but literally a wide swath of people from the U.S. to Asia to Europe can visually see this eclipse occurring, because it occurs at a time when most of us are still sort of awake, except for you guys in UTC time zone. You probably will be snoozing. So if you get a chance to get out and take a look, visualize the event, right? I love doing that when I can. And hopefully we have cloudless skies that night so we can see this. So let's start then talking about the full moon, the super moon, the partial lunar eclipse moon, partially eclipsed moon, conjunct Neptune, because this is pretty close, right? Neptune's at 28 degrees, the moon at 25. So if we round those up, we're talking, you know, pretty close connection. And it brings heightened spiritual and emotional energy to the table, right? Neptune is in his power. He's in his domicile. He's in his sign that he rules. So he has a lot of power with this moon. And Neptune's influence then also enhances our intuition, our dreams, our connection to the subconscious mind. So expect that a lot of things may be coming up to the surface, stuff that you didn't deal with completely. You could be having, you know, very vivid dreams. My husband had all but what he would have called, he called it a vivid dream, and I'm thinking it's probably a lucid dream over the weekend. And so I think, you know, we get sometimes these things happening to us even before the eclipse occurs, right? So if you've been having more intuitive hits, if you've been having weirder, wilder dreams, that could be because of the power of this eclipse that is in the process of coming in. And an eclipse amplifies things, right? We already know the full moon can amplify emotions and our intuition, but now you have an eclipse in the mix, and that amplifies emotional release. It can amplify us to let the need to let go of old patterns and to embrace compassion and healing, both for ourselves and for others, right? It isn't just a one-way thing. And this might be a great time then for you to sit in reflection or meditation and tap into your inner you, into your spiritual awareness. And, you know, in this book that I was just talking to you guys about, one of the questions she asks all the time is, what is the divine requesting of me, right? What is the divine showing me? And how could I tap into a solution that is divinely guided? And she does this through different stories that she's sharing in the book. It's like so cool to see it in print like that. So expect that there might be themes around forgiveness or lack of forgiveness that also come to the surface, emotional healing that emerges as a need to be taken care of. Vulnerability can also surface for us at this time, especially emotional vulnerability. And that can, you know, if you allow these things to come up and for you to reflect on or meditate on, it can allow for deeper self-awareness and lead to healing, right? Rather than what we normally do, which is to slam the door on those uncomfortable feelings, right? Walk away. I don't want to do that. I don't want to deal with this. So, you know, be willing. And that's really all you have to have, is a willingness to explore whatever the themes are that are coming up. No one's saying you have to solve the problem today or tomorrow, such as the case may be. But it is definitely something for you to explore if you start to see themes coming up around victimization, about fear, right? And here we are. Today is the 16th, and I believe it will be, hold on, I'll tell you when it will be, exactly on September 26th, so 10 days from now, where we begin the sun's move through all the gates of the spleen in your human design, which for the next 7 weeks after that, all of the shadow energies can be triggered within us, right? So we're going to be dealing with fears and shadows anyway. So we might as well go in, eyes wide open, heart open, compassion, you know, leading our way into releasing these things that have been holding us back. Be mindful too of confusion, because Neptune involves, his energy can really blur reality. Stay grounded during this time, right? Make sure you are always well hydrated, drink your water, make sure that you're eating good, healthy foods. Because remember, primarily this axis is about, or axis is about wellness and healing and health, right? The health of the physical, the mental, emotional, and spiritual, right? So health in general. And if Neptune's blurring the reality, or, you know, blurring the lines, then what you have left to rely on is your intuitive self, your grounded self, right? So remember to do those practices that really keep you grounded. Things like mindfulness, journaling, even meditation, especially if your emotional things become overwhelming, right? You need to take that time for yourself to be able to get back to an equanimity if possible. So this eclipse will be about surrender in some way and trusting the process of emotional and spiritual cleansing, releasing all of that. But ultimately, it invites us to profound healing and spiritual awakening and clarity as we move forward with this deeper connection to our higher selves, right? The part of us that is connected to the divine. And, you know, all of us, I don't think any one of you, I'm pretty sure no one of you who is listening to my show in the behind the scenes, who is live here with me this morning, who listens to the podcast later, none of you are without skills of intuition and feeling your connection to your higher self. You may question it. You may question that I'm saying that, and maybe you feel like, no, I don't have that connection. But you do, or you wouldn't be here. Listening to me, or you know, whether you're live or listening to this later, because you have to have a certain amount of openness to the fact that you are of divine nature in order to even have this conversation. So you all have it, right? You all have it. And sometimes it's more powerful than others. And I'm going to tell you that typically when we have this kind of a setup where an eclipse pattern begins to really pulsate that energy of spiritual awareness into the reality of the earth, then we become more spiritual, right? We become more willing, able to hear the inner voice, the voice of God, if you will, or higher self, whatever you want to call that. And we begin to resonate with an energy of oneness and of unity, or of universal mind. So it's an interesting shift to be taking place here at this moment in time when things have been so chaotic and so polarized in the world. And we're leaning in at this point, trying to draw the sides together in a way that allows us to move forward more consciously with collective ideals in mind. So changes on the horizon, but they're always kind of slow, and there's always interference, right? There's interference. And now we're going to talk about some of the other connections that are going on with this particular eclipse and this full moon, because they're going to tell you where some of the challenges might be coming in, right? So the full moon in Pisces is in a wide conjunction to Saturn. It's a 10-degree connection that they have. So it's just at the very edge of where I would even bring this up. But Saturn being Saturn, and Saturn and Neptune both being in Pisces, I have to bring this up, right? Because he's already been working on us at this level of Piscean lack of reality, or spirituality, or compassion and healing. So we got to talk to him. And he is also, or the full moon is also in a square to Jupiter. So now we have another interesting part of the conversation, because the squares bring tension, and the tension coming to Jupiter, who is about growth and expansion. And then a sextile, finally, an harmonious aspect to the planet Uranus. So some of the energies are kind of a mixed bag with this particular eclipse. So the full moon in Pisces, let's start there, because this brings heightened intuition and emotional release and spiritual awareness, all of these, you know, energies that take us beyond the physical body, right? The beyond the physical. And Pisces energy encourages us to surrender to the flow, right? Allowing for deep emotional clearing while we're on that flow or in that flow, and deep connection to the unseen or to the spiritual realms. So that's the backdrop energy. And now we have this wide conjunction going on between that full moon, partial lunar eclipse, and Saturn. Now, Saturn's influence adds that little dose of reality, right? The responsibility to structure, to put a structure, build a structure to the emotional sensitivity of the full moon, right? We don't just want to, you know, pretty much vomit emotional energy out there to everybody around us, right? We have to be able to, in some way, structure. And even though this conjunction is kind of wide, meaning the orbs, 10 degrees, are pretty wide, it suggests that emotional energies around boundaries may be coming up for us, discipline, or long-term emotional commitments, and whether those agreements or those commitments are supportive or not. And they can come into focus, right? This is Saturn. He brings things into focus. And you may feel a need to ground yourself or to ground emotional energy, to set healthy boundaries and limits to manage the intensity of this full moon. Like, if you feel the need to get away from it all, then feel that feeling is likely correct, right? Move away. Maybe you need to do more introspective work. In a little bit, I'm going to go through all of the signs and all of the houses that this could be taking place in and help you discover a little more about, you know, how this might impact you. Now, the square to Jupiter, Jupiter's in Gemini. So the Gemini energy is about communication. It's about the mind and how we use the mind. It's about learning, and the expansive energies that are available to us right now are really about the growth of our knowledge, our awareness, our consciousness, right? And you have to know that Jupiter is the traditional ruler of the sign of Pisces, right? So it's interesting. There's a good connection here between the full moon and Neptune and Saturn all in Pisces, and Jupiter, who is the more traditional ruler of that sign. So this is a tension then that's showing up between the expansive and optimistic energies of Jupiter and the more emotional, dreamy nature of the full moon in Pisces. And of course, Neptune conjunct that full moon in Pisces, right? So we may feel a pull between wanting to experience or explore new ideas, to adventure outward from where we've been, to communicate with people more frequently, or to expand our horizons. That's a Jupiter word, while also needing to stay emotionally connected and grounded. So this aspect can lead to us to scatter our energy, right? To get too many irons in the fire, too many things going on, and our minds, you know, can't cope with all of that at one time. So we begin to just lose focus on everything, especially if we don't manage that energy appropriately. We can also overextend ourselves. So be careful, watchful of what it is that you're committing to over these next few days. And by the way, the eclipse does occur tomorrow, but its effects are felt until we get at least to the solar eclipse 2 weeks from now, or 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks from, it'll be on October 2nd, I believe it is. And also an impact until the next lunar eclipse, which won't be until the spring. So these themes, while they, you know, are being sort of triggered at this full moon time, aren't over, right? There'll be lasting impacts of these things. So manage the concept of overextension. What are you committing yourself to? Are you committing your resources too widely? Are you committing your time? And those overextensions end up undermining your energy. So we have to be watchful. Now, the sextile to Uranus, the sextile is a 60-degree relationship. It's a very harmonious and positive relationship between the two planets. But Uranus, as always, brings an element of surprise or unexpectedness or innovation, bringing opportunities for emotional breakthroughs and shifts in perspective. So I find that interesting. And the sextile is harmonious. So it suggests that these shifts and these changes are good, right? In that they bring like a breath of fresh air to your emotional being and maybe offering up an unconventional approach to healing or into your spiritual life or into your emotional life, and a pathway then to release old tapes, right? The old patterns, and the welcoming then in of the new liberating experiences. So all in all, this particular eclipse, as far as the other planets engaged, are pretty powerful and pretty positive, with the exception of that tense square with Jupiter, which is just really to say, don't go too far too fast, right? Just kind of let's keep it within some sort of boundaries. You don't have to, you know, constrict, but you do need to make sure it is workable, sustainable. Okay. All right. So the key themes of this entire deal that we're talking about here is about emotional release and spiritual awareness, right? That is the Piscean full moon. We are looking at grounded responsibility and emotional discipline with that Saturn conjunction. We are experiencing tension between expansion and emotional depth. That's the Jupiter square. And then opportunities for emotional breakthroughs and change with the connection to Uranus during this period of time. So what we'll really find is that this full moon in partial lunar eclipse is about balancing our emotional sensitivity with practical grounding, Pisces and Virgo, right? Embracing expansive ideas while maintaining emotional clarity and welcoming the unexpected, maybe emotional insights, we could call them, that lead you to personal growth, right? So all in all, not too bad. All right, let's take a look at this lunar eclipse through human design, because here's where I find, this is where I find the dissonance that may be a part of the experience. And that's because this lunar eclipse is occurring at the gate 36 in our human designs, which is called the gate of turbulence. And it is on the emotional center. So now we have validation from two sources that we're talking emotional energy here, right? Now, the gate 36 brings an intense energy of emotional upheaval and transformation. And here's how we can understand that in the context of this full moon eclipse. Gate 36 represents a part of an emotional wave, and it deals with crisis and turbulence and how we navigate those periods of emotional intensity. Now, keep in mind, you may not have the gate 36 defined, or have any planets at the gate 36 in your human design. But now you're going to have some kind of trigger point, some kind of catalyst with the full moon lunar eclipse here during this period of time. And actually, it is the Earth that is also sitting here during this period of time. And if I look at the dates for you, it's September 15th through 20th. So this really began yesterday. Where this turbulence, this crisis energy is in our lives and needing to be managed during this period of time. Now, during the lunar eclipse, gate 36 energy is amplified somewhat, and it encourages us to confront any emotional crisis or turbulence that we're experiencing in our lives. Like I said, everybody has a gate 36, not everybody has it defined, but now everybody has the moon during this period of time, and Earth sitting at the gate 36. So it's a time of deep emotional processing where hidden emotions or unresolved issues can surface and asking to be acknowledged and healed. It's not coming back in a punitive sort of way to hurt us, but it is sort of a rerun so that we will deal with the issue acknowledge it and start to heal through whatever that turbulence is in your world. And the turbulence of gate 36 doesn't necessarily mean chaos for its own sake. It serves as a vehicle, actually, for emotional growth and for spiritual evolution. It isn't just about the crisis. It's about what do we do in the face of that crisis or in the face of that turbulence? How do we deal with it? But expect a sense of emotional restlessness and uncertainty. But you also have to know that this energy is pushing you toward greater clarity and alignment. So out of the chaos comes more emotional sensitivity, perhaps, but more clarity about what it is that you're experiencing. And because it is an eclipse and it is a full moon, it does offer us a chance to release old emotional patterns, to let go of the old, and to embrace a new way of responding to emotional challenges. Wow. Awesome, right? And this is a part of a bigger evolutionary pattern as well, because we have all been very emotionally reactive to experiences, to things that in our relationships that happen, or to the impact that emotions have in our lives. And we're being asked to evolve that emotional response. How do we respond to emotional challenges? We're being asked to rise to the occasion and take on a new way of responding in the face of the challenges. And this is an invitation, like it was when we talked about it in the Zodiac, to find your center during emotional crises or storms, and to trust that you will emerge stronger and more aligned with your purpose. Practical tools, right? We need those. Grounding practices, emotional awareness practices, journaling, allowing yourself time to process any of the intense emotional energies that come up. So that requires you to not be reactive, right? And we talk about this a lot here, because in the grand scheme of things, that's what this whole emotional solar plexus transition that's coming in 2027 is about. It's about becoming more emotionally responsive as opposed to reactive. So it's a potent time then for us to reflect on how we handle emotional turbulence and then allow ourselves the space to transform through the waves of intensity that might, you know, be coming up for us, rather than to blurt, rather than to lash out or be reactive, to smooth the way through emotional response. Not so easy, not so difficult, right? We've been talking about this for a long time. Now, the sun during this period of time isn't quiet, right? The sun is still shining, and he happens to be in the gate 6, also on the emotional solar plexus. And that gate is called the gate of impact. And the gate 6 is about the emotional impact of things that occur and the management of conflict. In one respect, the gate 6 is all about peace. How do we get to peace when we have all of these emotional turbulences, crises, you know, things that are happening in our outer world that are sort of symbolic of the changes that need to be taking place within us, right? And it deals with how we set boundaries, how we resolve emotional conflicts or resolve the tension that emotions bring up, and decide when to engage or withdraw from the conflict. Is this the battle that is worth getting into? So during the eclipse with the sun at this gate 6, we're going to be more aware of how our emotional energy influences others, how our emotional energy takes over and drives for us if we're not aware, and how conflicts can either bring clarity or create tension, right? We are essentially having to look at how we resolve conflict, especially emotional conflict, right? How do we solve that? And this gate teaches us the importance of emotional boundaries, knowing when to stand firm and when to soften in order to create harmony. right? How do we work together, in other words? Now, the full moon lunar eclipse amplifies this energy, the intensity of this gate. It's already intense. We call it a red flag gate because when it's activated, it brings this energy of conflict and peace to the front, right? How do we resolve these things? How do we resolve the issues that have been building? And that helps us or allows us to find a way to release those tensions in a positive way, letting go of what no longer serves us. And it encourages us to reflect on the impact of conflict in our lives. How have we handled conflict? How have we not handled it? How have we ignored it? How have we overreacted to conflict in our lives? And of course, by being able to do this, it leads us to growth and it leads us to deeper connection. It leads us to resolution of problems. We have to learn to do this as individuals, because if we don't, we can't do this as groups. We can't do this as a community. We can't do this as a nation. We can't do this as a world if we don't learn how to do it for ourselves first, right? So the energy of this particular eclipse at the sun, with the sun in gate six, also highlights the importance of emotional awareness in creating impactful change, right? Being mindful of what your emotional responses are to anything that you get triggered by. For any conflict can be an opportunity for healing, but we don't look at it that way. Often, right? When we are in conflict, we're looking at how can I be right, right? How can I be right? I'm right, you're wrong. And unfortunately, that keeps conflict alive. That even perpetuates victim energy. It perpetuates control dynamics and manipulation dynamics. We can't look at it that way. We have to get above that, right? We can't look at someone and say, you know, you're wrong. Even if they are, it's not your job, right? Even if they are, in their eyes, they're not wrong. It's their opinion, maybe. It's their point of view. It's their experience. It's what their emotional truth is. It is not up to you to generate the conflict with them, but maybe more agree to disagree, right? That's okay. So use this time and this space to reflect on your emotional impact, what things impact you emotionally, what things trigger you, catalyze you to go into conflict, and the role that you can play in bringing a much more peaceful resolution to any of the impacts or conflicts or triggers, chaos, turbulence that shows up during this period of time. And recognize the power of emotional impact and the need that we have for clear boundaries, and that having those boundaries helps us to transform emotional tension into growth and conflict resolution. All right. Questions. Let me go back over here and see how everybody's doing today. Paulette Peasley, hello to you. Marin Metcalf is a dear friend. I'm hoping she joins us here. I hope she does too. That would be sweet. And Augustina, I'm glad to be back among you all. I'm able to tune in as I'm working from home again. Yay. Amanda J, some areas of the UK have been able to see the aurora over recent nights. I think even here in the northern tier of the US, we've been seeing it as well. And good morning, Terry. Good to see you. And Christine Buckingham. So if we have a defined 36.2 in Mercury, the mind side, Pisces, is it related? Yes. Right? Because you already have a planet sitting at the gate 36. And that speaks to, and Mercury, right? So I'm glad you said it was Mercury, because that might be a mind that is in turbulence, right? Our mind that goes into crisis mode, that overthinks, right? That gets that engine running of the thought processes that then generate emotional energy that then gets expressed out into the world, or works at the level on the inside, the solar plexus inside, creating health issues perhaps, or stomach issues. So definitely something impactful, because now you're adding the energy of the full moon, which happens to be a lunar eclipse and a super moon, to this. So more emotional energy kind of feeding the fire here. So hopefully that helps. Karen's Corner, MP perks up an invitation. MP, I don't know what that is, but tell me what that is. I have gates 35 and 59. So I have centers lighting up. Indeed you do. So what Karen is talking about is that she has planets that are sitting at the opposite gates to the 36 and to the 6. So her emotional energy is getting defined to the sacral and also to the throat. So this is very impactful for Karen in that these are not energies that usually make that completion point. So it could be very healing for you, Karen, but also may also trigger, you know, you might also be a trigger yourself for others, but also find yourself triggered by others and having to really move to the other side energies, the gates that you already have, that you have wisdom maybe that has been gathered to help you move through all of that. Mental projector. Gotcha. Okay. MP. It's lit up as an invitation. It is indeed, right? For you, it's very powerful. And anybody, of course, who has the 59 defined already or the 35 defined already has this coming up. And in fact, Tom, who is not with us this morning that I can tell, also has his son at the gate 35, I believe it is. So now this eclipse pattern is really impacting his natal son. So Tom, if you're listening, well, there you are. You are here. I see you now. So Tom, gate 35 being impacted. So turbulence moving up to the throat in the gate 35, which says, I have skills, I have abilities, I have tools to help me deal with the emotional crisis or turbulence energy, right? This is a transformation that can happen for you during this period of time. So very good. Let's go now. We have 15 minutes. I think I can do this as quickly as possible because I want to talk to you guys about what it means for you in your own zodiac sign. So when we do something like this, we move the event, whatever it is, in this case, it's an eclipse, we move it to the first house. And then if Pisces then becomes the first house, then Aries becomes the 12th, and we go around the wheel and make everything operate in an order that would be more general, I guess, or help people see from more of a collective point of view what will happen with the sign. Now, it's not very personalized, however, right? Because who knows, we're going to try to personalize it by bringing it into the houses for you as well. But we'll do that here in a few minutes. So if you're an Aries, right, if your sun is in the sign of Aries, the eclipse is going to activate your 12th house of the divine, of the subconscious mind, and the 6th house, which is the house of healing, of health, of wellness, of service. And it's going to focus you on balancing the inner healing and your daily routines, inner healing through the 12th house, daily routines through the 6th house. You may need to address how subconscious patterns affect your health, your work, and your well-being. So it's a good time to release those old habits that drain your energy and embrace healthier habits, right? Or healthier practices that align you with your energy release, or your energy expression. If you are Taurus, this eclipse falls across your 11th and 5th houses, highlighting friendships, group dynamics, your creative expression. You may find yourself reassessing your role in your social circles, the people that you hang with, right? Are these the right people? Are these the ones that are balancing you, right? Are they the balance for you in your life? You might also have to find ways to balance your inner, your personal creativity and your collective responsibilities. It's a time to align your personal passions with the goals of the larger community. How do I fit into that bigger picture? If you are a Gemini, this is impacting your 10th and your 4th houses, bringing up career from the 10th and home and family in the 4th. You could be feeling pulled between the two. And as a Gemini, I have been. I don't know what the heck it's been, this big pull between two different poles of influence, right? My career, my profession, how I show up there, but also home and family and my responsibilities there. So you may find yourself pulled between those professional ambitions and your need for emotional security through your family, or through more emotional security in terms of how you've built that in your foundation of your life. And the eclipse is asking you to find a balance between work and your private life, and potentially let go of those outdated career goals to focus on what truly matters to you. If you are Cancer, the eclipse touches your ninth and your third houses, focusing on education, travel, communication, and your belief systems. So you might be prompted to shift how you share ideas or how you expand your worldview. It's time to let go of that narrow-minded, closed-minded thinking and embrace a broader perspective of life, perhaps through learning, perhaps through teaching others, or some kind of spiritual exploration. If you are Leo, the eighth and the second houses are highlighted for you, focusing on shared resources, intimacy, and financial stability. You may face changes in financial partnerships or deal with emotional, transformational kinds of things related to power dynamics or shared assets or deaths, and having to deal with legacies or with the shared things through an inheritance. There might be more power dynamics around releasing emotional baggage, like the old stuff, finding new ways to be secure. It's an important aspect for you to think about for yourself. If you are a Virgo, Virgo's eclipse lands in the seventh and the first houses, bringing relationships and self-identity to the forefront. Right? So who are you in partnerships? Who are you in relationship? You may feel the need to recalibrate how you balance your personal needs in your partnerships. This is an opportunity to let go of any relationship patterns that don't serve you and find a new sense of harmony between yourself and others, right? Balancing. Hold on. Got to have a drink here. If you are Libra, this is occurring across your sixth and your 12th houses, bringing attention to your health and work routines and your inner spiritual life, right? The 12th house, meaning a house of that deeper spiritual connection. You may need to reflect on how your daily habits impact your emotional well-being. You may be asked to release overwhelming work habits and focus more on your mental and spiritual health. I hear my husband in my ear. Scorpio, this eclipse impacts your fifth and 11th houses, highlighting creativity and romance and your place in social groups. So you might feel the need to balance your personal needs, your personal creativity with your responsibilities to friends and to the groups or the people that you are a part of. So it's time to release blockages, it would seem, to self-expression, to embrace a more authentic way of connecting to others. If you're a Sagittarian, it is the fourth and the 10th houses that are activated for you, focusing on home life versus career. And you may feel torn between professional responsibilities and your emotional needs for family and security. Oh, I'm laughing because my daughter is a Sagittarius and she is experiencing this exact thing. The eclipse invites you to reconsider how you balance these two big parts of your lives, to release any outdated professional and family roles. And you all might be noticing that these now, you know, we're in these opposites, right? We already talked about Geminis having the 10th house and 4th house, and Sagittarius, the opposite sign, having the 4th house and the 10th house. All right. Capricorn, the 3rd and the 9th houses are highlighted for you, emphasizing communication, learning, and expanding your perspective, seeing from the higher perspective. You may be prompted to rethink your beliefs or how you share your ideas with others. It's a time to release limiting thought patterns and embrace new knowledge or spiritual growth. Kind of get out of the track, the one track that you've been in, you know, increase that one lane highway to a 10 lane highway, right? If you are an Aquarian, the eclipse falls in your second house and eighth house, focusing on personal finances and self-worth and shared resources. You may need to reassess your financial situation if you're an Aquarian, or let go of emotional attachments related to money or power dynamics in your life. It's an opportunity to create greater emotional and financial stability and security. So take advantage of that, right? If you're a Piscean, of course, this is happening across the first and the seventh house for you, focusing on personal identity and relationships. You may need to find a balance in your life between your needs and your partners, whoever they may be in your life. And this eclipse encourages you then to release any relationship dynamics hindering your personal growth, right? Or become more to anything that's hindering you becoming a more authentic version of yourself. All right. So that runs that down. Let's look at the houses as quickly as we can. So all of you have the Virgo Pisces axis somewhere in your chart. Let's see if I can show you on a quick highlighting Pisces, highlighting Virgo. In this little chart here, so you can see this is what Pisces looks like, right? And there's the moon. This is a chart of the full moon. So you have the Saturn, Moon, Neptune. And then the opposite side down here, this is where Virgo is. And because the eclipse is in Pisces, even if you find Pisces, at least you've got the main idea connected here. So that'll tell you what house, whatever pie-shaped piece Pisces is in, is the house where this is occurring for you, okay? If this chart were a person, and it isn't, but if it were, it would be occurring in the 10th house. You can see that listed right here, right? The house numbers are down around the center circle. Okay, so if you have Pisces on your first house, then this eclipse is focusing on personal identity and self-expression and how you present yourself to the world. And you may experience shifts in how you see yourself in the world, or how you want to be seen or heard by others in the world. So this time is a reflection for you on your personal goals and letting go of old habits, embracing new, more authentic things about you, right? A more authentic version of yourself. So the key themes are personal transformation, self-awareness, new beginnings for your identity. The second house, if that is where Pisces is, the key themes here for you are going to be financial changes, re-evaluating your values, right? Re-evaluating, finding stability in new ways, right? The themes of finances and possessions and self-worth come up to the forefront for you. And reassessing your financial situation or your relationship to resources is huge at this time. It'll be a good time to release unhealthy attachments to possessions and to reevaluate your worthiness. If you have a third house Pisces, the eclipse highlights communication shifts, how you communicate, what you communicate, changes in how you learn or teach, or what you learn about or teach to others, new perspectives. It's about how you connect with others through mind orientation, through communication. And it's a good time to release old communication patterns, embrace new ways of thinking, because it does impact your thinking as well, and how you interact with people. Fourth house is house of home and family and traditions. It is the foundation of your human experience, and it brings attention to those things, home and family, and your emotional foundations even. This is the house ruled naturally by the moon. So you might feel a pull to reassess your living situation, your family dynamics, or how you nurture yourself emotionally. It's an opportunity to let go of old family patterns, old family karma, and make changes that bring emotional security to you and your family. So there could be home changes, emotional healing, and family dynamics that come up for you during this period of time. The fifth house is the house of creativity and romance, and the eclipse highlights creativity, self-expression, romance, romantic relationships, joy, how you how you experience joy in your life. You may be inspired to let go of old creative blocks. If you've had writer's block and you've been trying to write something, maybe it's time to let that go. Reconsider how you approach love, how you approach romance, how you approach play and recreation. It's a time for rekindling your passion for life and exploring new ways to express yourself, because this is extremely about creative breakthroughs for you, changes in your romance, but also rediscovering joy and its impact in your life. The sixth house deals with health and daily routines, and it is about how do we improve our health and well-being. And how do we shift our work? How do we shift our schedules maybe to be more in alignment with what fits us or suits us, and creating better routines for yourself that are more healthy? So it's a good time to release any routines or behaviors that drain your energy and embrace healthier practices. Seventh house, relationships and partners. This is about shifts in your closest relationships, how we balance ourselves, how we balance the I versus the we, right? Redefining our connections, our contracts and agreements with one another. You may experience changes in those relationship patterns, wanting to release any of those that don't fit anymore, that doesn't suit you. So find balance between your needs and the needs of others. If you have an eighth house, a lunar eclipse, then this is a house of transformation and shared resources. And it highlights those themes of transformation and intimacy as well here. This is emotional transformation. This is shifts in how we share our finances or share our resources with one another, letting go of control. Whew, let it go, right? We may be, if you have this in your eighth house, you may face or have an opportunity anyway to face any control issues that you have in your life, whether you're being controlled or controlling, and the emotional baggage that's holding you back, and then step into a more empowered place. If you have a ninth house solar lunar eclipse, this is about beliefs and higher learning. And this is about focusing on shifting your beliefs, your spirituality, your higher learning. Can be about travel and how we deal with cultures not our own. We might be inspired to explore other philosophies or release any of those outdated belief patterns and systems that no longer serve us, right? It's a pretty good time for that. It's a great time for expanding your horizons and embracing new learning and new spiritual practices. If you have a 10th house Pisces, this is the career house and profession. So it brings attention to your career, to your public image, to your reputation, and how you have set or not set yet any long-term sort of goals. So you might experience changes in your professional life, or maybe you're being prompted to reassess your ambitions, your goals, and it's time to let go of career paths that do not sustain you, that don't resonate with you, that don't align with your true soul's purpose. Your true purpose is to live life passionately, right? If you have an 11th house Pisces, then you have an eclipse that's highlighting friendships, group dynamics, your long-term aspirations, your hopes, your dreams, your visionary self, right? So you may experience changes in your social circles or who you network with. You may feel inspired to reassess your goals for the future, making them more humanitarian in reflection, or maybe making them, loftier, right? Because maybe you've played too small, and now this is an invitation to play a little bit bigger. So friendship changes can occur. You can redefine your goals or your dreams, basically. Goals in Capricorn are different than the goals here in this house, or in the 10th house are different than the 11th house. These are the visionary parts of yourself, right? Finding your place in groups is also a part of this. If you have a 12th house Pisces, the 12th house focuses on the subconscious mind. It focuses on spiritual healing and letting go. This is where we become untethered. You may feel more introspective You may be reflecting on hidden patterns in your life that have been holding you down or holding you back. Fears and limitations and blocks may be coming to the surface. It's a time for deep emotional release for you and spiritual renewal that allows you then to clear away what no longer serves you. And so the key themes here would be spiritual healing, releasing old patterns, and embracing solitude as a pathway to that experience. So, boom. Wow, I did that with only 4 minutes overtime. All right. Thank you so much, all of you, for joining me this morning. And I appreciate all of you. And I wish you all a most peaceful and blessed partial lunar eclipse tomorrow. Thanks. Bye for now. See you on Friday.
Do you wish you could better understand yourself and what is going on in the world? Well, grab your cup of coffee or tea and join the podcast Living Astrology with Janet Hickox for Astrology, Human Design, and Gene Key's Wisdom. Mondays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Podcasts are available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and your other favorite outlets.